And so it'd be good for you to look at that and follow along. Romans chapter 1. And we'll be looking at the first seven verses. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets and in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these words. We thank you for these words that just lay out the Christian faith, the foundation of what we believe. And Lord, we pray that you would just speak through us this morning and that we could gain encouragement of the truth that you share with us, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work in this world. So we give you honor and glory in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Now, as we enter, okay, as we enter here, 2021, a good question to ask, a real good question to ask it would be, why are we here? Why are we here? And before God, why are we here? As we're going into 2021, why are we here? And Lord, now, the best way to understand this is to have a good systematic theology. Okay, well, systematic theology is just a system of religion, a system of theology. It's just a systematic study. It's an understanding of A to Z. Okay, this is just kind of how it flows out. And so I think this is important. You know, I think it's important that we look at this because I don't know about you. I listen to things and of course, the people that don't know Jesus, that, you know, outside the church, I mean, you hear things that they say about God and about Jesus and what happened. And I mean, it's just, you can't believe what they're saying. You can't believe how, you know, far off they are from understanding the truth or how convoluted things are getting. And so, this is not really to them. Although, if they, with a, you know, open heart would read through it, it'd help them. But this is not who this is to. Who this is to is believers. But I'll add on to believers, and this is just me, sometimes I listen to, and there's a whole realm of what people who believe, that say they're believers and trust in Christ, and whether they do or not, you really don't know. But in that realm of religion, of Christian religion, you hear some Christians say, and you're going, no, that's not what it says. That's not, I mean, you're saying this, but this is not what the Lord says. So we know as believers, as we look at the Word, you know, if we don't understand the Word, we can say some pretty off-base things. And there are a lot of people within the Christian faith. Now, that's a big bucket. Now, some people can call the Christians, again, and not be, but you look and say, where did they get that? You can't say that. You can't say those things. And so that's the reason it's important to have a systematic theology. Because if you did, you wouldn't say those things. If you kind of knew what the flow was, you wouldn't say those things. Now, there have been multitudes and multitudes of volumes written on systematic theology. I mean, it's just amazing. And you could fill this sanctuary with the books on Christian systematic theology, in good books. I mean, I'm not saying, it can be just a little bit overwhelming. However, I believe with all my heart and soul, the best systematic theology ever written, I mean ever written, it pulls everything together, is the 16 chapters in the book of Romans. That's the best one. Six. So you can fill this room up and try to read all those or pick what you want to. Or we can read the book of Romans and the 16 chapters there. And people will read the book of Romans and say, man, that's kind of hard. Well, it's worth studying and looking at, but it's the best study you have. We have. It's the best study. So I think it's important for all believers to use the book of Romans as a springboard for any other study one may do. You know, kind of go back to the source. Go back to the source. And I think that's what the book of Romans, I just know that's what the book of Romans does. Book of Romans is systematic theology. And we can go through and you have the whole picture. And I'll even go as far as to say that the rest of the Bible has its roots in the book of Romans. And the book of Romans came, but the Apostle Paul put it together. But with a good understanding of the book of Romans, then it has an understanding that feeds out in other parts of the Bible. Okay? So it's a good foundation. You can't read something. I mean, the Bible doesn't contradict itself, contrary to some opinion. But you definitely can't have the Bible contradicting other books of the Bible contradicting the book of Romans. You look at that, and it's putting it together, putting all the things in together. So an incredible, incredible book. And therefore, to answer the question of why are we here? Why are we here? And how are we going to face 2021? The book of Romans is the best place to begin to get that understanding. Oh my God, 2021, what's going to happen? What's going to do? Okay, study the book of Romans. And then we're going to have an understanding of the presence of God, what he's doing, and his purpose. And therefore, that gives us confidence, and then we can be fearless looking at what he's doing. And that book gives us the whole picture. Now, there's other pieces of the Bible. But those pieces will fold back into the book of Romans. They don't contradict it. They just, you know, you can elaborate on things. So it's a great book for us to look at. So I think, why not kick off First Sunday 2021 with the book of Romans? And why don't we just go through it and say, you know, we'll get done about June. But anyway, we can just go through this systematic theology and understand, like, God's reasoning and what he reveals to us, what he reveals to us. And so that's where we're going to start off this morning. Now, what we have here, so you understand the mindset of the book of Romans when it's going out, you know, as the Apostle Paul is presenting it. Well, then we pay close attention to these first seven verses, because what the Apostle Paul does in the first seven verses, he gives us a summary. He gives a summary outline. Here is the basics. This is the basic foundational beliefs in the Christian faith. And so it's saying that as a Christian, you got to buy into the first seven verses. You got to buy into the first seven verses. If you don't, it's like, okay, now you're off kilter and no telling where you're going to end up. So the first seven verses are key, is a summary of the foundation of the Christian faith. So therefore, the Christian faith is absolutely essential that we understand the first seven verses, the book of Romans, so we can understand why we are here. All right? Everybody ready, though? And why are we here for 2021? Why are we here? We're here for a purpose. We're here for a purpose. Like I said, Jesus is moving forward. Nothing is upsetting him. And he works through his people, and we're here for a purpose. So what I'm going to do, y'all are looking at those verses. Now, I'm not going to refer specifically back to those verses again, you know, and reading them, but I'm going to kind of do a little commentary on them, and you look at it and think about it, all right? So here is the first part of that systematic theology, and that we'll carry out the next few months. Answer the first question, why are we here? Verse 1, okay, the question, and there's a series of questions. I should have let Amir know that he's got the overheads there. These will be a series of questions, no numbers, so you'll have to kind of follow with the questions I ask. So the series of questions. Why are we here? Verse 1 says this. Says it declares we are set apart for the gospel of God. Why are you here? You are set apart for the gospel of God. Why am I here? I am set apart for the gospel of God. Period. Period. But I've got all these gifts and I'm this, you know, incredible engineer and I got these incredible things I have to do and I know God's called me to do all these things within this gifting. Okay. Is you being an engineer your purpose? No. You're set apart for the gospel. So as an engineer and being the best engineer God ever called, your primary purpose is to share the gospel while you're being a good engineer. You see what I'm saying? I'm called to be a doctor. God's purpose for me is being a doctor. So your purpose is to be a doctor and never come to Jesus and you spend eternity in hell? No. You're called to be a doctor, but your first call, your purpose, you're set apart for the gospel. And you're put in the middle of a bunch of doctors. And as you are the best doctor God has ever called, your purpose is share the gospel. You're set apart for the gospel. So as we enter 2021, we are set apart for the gospel. That's the purpose. See, and you do that, and it helps clarify things. It really does help clarify your life as you move forward. Oh my gosh, we'll just use the doctor. I'm in this, and my whole practice just failed. My life has ended. You know, I got to start over. No, you don't. Because your purpose was to share the gospel. Being a doctor was just the means to do that. And so you just take a deep breath. Say, well, God, I still have my purpose. You must want me someplace else to share this purpose. And you'll use the gifts you've given me for this purpose to share the gospel. Now, this is, by the way, this is what God has to say about it. This is what God has to say about our life. This is what the indication is in this as we understand this. You know, and so the primary thing in one's life is what we fret about the most. Oh, my career. Friend, no, my purpose is to serve God. Okay, I wonder what career I'll do that. See, it doesn't become the chief concern. The purpose is to share the gospel wherever you're. By the way, in all of life's situations, which one does God want the gospel shared in? All of them. I mean, it, all of them. That purpose goes everywhere. I'll share. The Lord brought to mind is a testimony. It's a fascinating thing. This is 30 years ago. And there's a hospital. It wasn't a hospital. I don't think the rest of the hospital was built. But it was a little place where, almost like a home where it had people come in for care and stuff. And I was ministering to an old man there, and I would go in and minister him, and he would just had all these things. I mean, the guy was sincerely on his deathbed, but I talked to him. He liked talking to me, and so we talked. A guy came in. He's cleaning. He was cleaning the room up. He said, I'm sorry, he's Hispanic, and I'm just saying that because of his background, where he came from, and it's really hard for me to understand it. And he came from, you know, South American country or Central American country. And so he's cleaning up the room, and he said, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interfere with you. And he said, are you talking about Jesus? And I said, yeah, yeah, we're talking about you. He said, oh, good. I mean, and he did. I wish I was more like this. I'm not. He said, oh, brother, you know, grabbed my hand and shook it. You know, I'm talking about Jesus, and I just walk off. This guy just, oh, you're Jesus. He gave me a high five. And, this, and I said, wow. I mean, it was just like, oh, my goodness. And a word like that. Oh, sure. Oh, can I pray for you, brother? I mean, the guy just, okay, you know, I'll pray, you know. Well, after all that, I decided, well, asking, well, tell me, where do you go to church? Oh, I go to down here, Spanish church, I like that. I said, that's wonderful. And got in the conversation. He says, you called to be a preacher. I said, yeah, God called me to be a preacher. He said, yeah, God called me to minister to the people who have AIDS. Now, that's a specific calling, you know. And I'm going, well, so it piqued my interest. And I said, what do you mean? You were called to minister to the people that have AIDS. Now, before that, he gave me his testimony, which was also got my attention. So before that, how'd you come to? Well, someone gave me a Bible, and I opened it up, and I read it, and God spoke, you have to believe this, and you believe this, you are saved, so I believe it. I am saved, and I've been serving Jesus ever since. Well, that sounds good. I mean, you know, the guy's on fire. I mean, he's just on fire. And he said, I have a specific call and to bring healing to the people who have AIDS and pray with the people who have AIDS. Now, we're talking 30 years ago, okay? So this is, nobody knew much about it and the thing of AIDS and stuff like that. And I said, well, how do you do that? He says, well, the building you are in, which I did not know, is a building set apart for all the AIDS patients in Northern Virginia. You're kidding. Here? You know, I mean, it's here. He said, oh, yeah. All the serious AIDS patients, they send to this building, and this is where they care for them. And these people are basically on their deathbed there at that point, and this is where they care. And he says, they don't tell anybody about it because people are so fearful. And I found out about it, and God told me I am to minister to those people. And I went in there, and they wouldn't let me go in to minister to them, but they needed a janitor. And I said, okay, I'll be your janitor. And he became their janitor and cleaned up. And every time he's cleaning up all these people's rooms with AIDS, he is sharing Christ with them. So he got a job to be a janitor to share with these people. He said, yes, and I'm going to minister. As soon as I leave you, I go down. I minister to all of them. It's like, was his purpose a janitor? No, his purpose, he set apart for the gospel. He set apart for, but he's a good janitor. I mean, he cleaned that room up good. You know, it was really well done. But this is what I'm talking, this is what God said. No, you're set apart for the gospel. When we think like that, it adjusts our thinking. And God said, no, that's why you're here. How many people, why am I here? You know, I know, why? You're here to share the gospel. Oh, okay. What is the means you give me to share the gospel? I've shared with you before the friend of mine that, you know, I just love this guy, that lawyer. Not only is he a lawyer, he's like brilliant. He's brilliant. Oxford scholar. Brilliant lawyer. And he would say, I'm here to share the gospel. And God uses me as a lawyer to share it. See, that's priority. He knows why he's here. He is a really good lawyer. But that's not why he's here. Amen. So here Paul is telling us. And it's the book of Romans, but he's telling all of us so that we understand. What are we supposed to do in 2021? Share the gospel. You're set apart for the gospel. That's why you're here. See, God's behind all this. I don't know what's happening in the world. I don't know what's happening here. But I know what I'm supposed to do. You know what you're supposed to do. Amen? That first step. So, okay, now we go on, and as you're looking at these verses, when was this job description established? Now, again, I'm not leaving verses 1 through 7, so as I continue to talk, I'm still pulling down these verses. So when was this job description established that you are set apart for the gospel? When did God do this? Well, verse 2 says it was promised by God beforehand. Beforehand. Like, you know, he didn't have to have an interview with me. Say, okay, what are you doing? What are your likes? What are your dislikes? And then we'll come up a job. He said, no. Before you were born, I had this laid out. I did it beforehand. Before our existence, God established our purpose. Before our existence. You mean he knew I was going to be a doctor before? Well, probably. But he definitely knew you were to share the gospel. Definitely knew that. Okay. And probably he knew the rest of it, you know, and kind of equipped you to do that in different areas in the world, you know. So, this is our identity. To share the gospel is our identity. It's who we are. Who we are. I knew a guy, and I'll just be honest, it's good to be transparent. God just drive me crazy. Solid believer, just one of these, blah, he's kind of like this little janitor guy. You know, as you can tell, I'm not just, blah, job, you know. But this guy, and so he was a financial advisor. The guy was rich. I don't know. I mean, he was wealthy. And he would come in, and I remember he said, "I am here to share the gospel with everybody." And I think, "Hey, you're doing okay at other places too, you know." You're not doing. He said, "No, that is just the means to talk to people." This guy is really wealthy, but his mindset was to share the gospel. Financial advisor. And I guess you got people's attention. You're dealing with their money. You know, he shared the gospel with people. And Richard, and he had talked to you. And it was like, I don't know how he could be a financial advisor. Because he wouldn't talk about anything but Jesus. It's just like, gosh, you know, it's kind of, how are the Redskins doing? What? No, I mean, it's just like, you see what I'm saying? He was just one of those people. Just, and his purpose in earth was he's a financial advisor. That's all he did. You know, he was older then. He's probably gone to be with the Lord. But in his mind, no, I'm here to share the gospel. And this is just the means I have to do it. And he was very good at the means he did. He's a good financial advisor. Just like this kid was a good janitor. You know, but that wasn't their purpose. Okay, so it was established beforehand. This janitor kid and this financial kid, beforehand, that they would share the gospel. That was their identity, to share the gospel. This kid's identity wasn't a janitor. This guy's identity wasn't a financial advisor. Their identity was to share the gospel. Amazing. Okay, now, by whose authority? Okay, so why are we here? And what is the job description? This is beforehand, God, before he established our purpose, before our existence. By whose authority? Okay, I mean, somebody says, this is what, whose authority? You know, I won't know the authority by which I'm getting all this direction from. In the scriptures, and if you continue on in verse 2 there, it says, the authority came through God's prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Okay, now there we go. I don't ever read the Bible. I don't need to read the Bible. I just love Jesus. Well, you're kind of lousy on your job description, you know? I mean, it just, you need a little more information. Because the purpose, the authority, and the information comes through God's prophets in the Holy Scripture. So he's telling us right there. He's really saying, too, that the best systematic theology is the book of Romans. Okay, I mean, he is kind of in a way there. So we have, listen to this, we have divine revelation for our divine purpose. We got the divine book. I mean, who wrote this job description? God did. It's like the commandments in Exodus says God wrote the commandments. It's written by the finger of God. I think you misspelled it. No, he didn't misspell nothing. You know, no, he written by the finger of God. Okay, I'm paying attention. I don't understand, but I'm paying attention because you wrote it. Well, that's what he's saying. Divine revelation. The holy prophets in the scripture. It is all there. I don't know if y'all have ever done this, but you know something, don't understand something, and you're like 20 years later reading, like, oh my gosh, that's what that means. What's the issue? The word or me? It's me. It's like I didn't get it. But I had to learn some other things. Oh, that's what that means. I shared back, whether y'all remember, was going through Malachi, and I shared the last verse of Malachi, and I said, I always considered this a throwaway verse. Can you imagine? God just going, stop that. You ever do that to your children? Don't you see that again? I think God got me in court. Don't you see that again? I said, just, and then finally that last session, I went through, read the verse. And I said, oh my God, the whole book centers around this. The whole book centers around that verse. Oh, you know, I never call anything again. I say, I don't understand this guy. I don't have a clue what you're talking about. But I know you got something. Okay, so we know where authority comes. There's an authority for why we're here. Holy prophets. The prophets in the Holy Scripture. In the Holy Scripture. Okay? Now, this is important, too. This is what is the main subject matter for our purpose? What is the main subject matter for our purpose. Now, we're going, and I think the guys will understand, reading a book on end times. It's fun. It's insightful and it's helpful. And, you know, we have good discussion. But in the Bible and our job description, the end times is not our main purpose. It's not the main purpose. It's good and it's good to know, but it's not the main purpose. So, see, that's what happens if you, in some job description, and you don't have what the main purpose is, you're always bouncing off in places you shouldn't be. You know, it's like, what are you doing this? This needs to be done. Why didn't you understand this? Oh, okay. But they don't know the main purpose. Well, if you understand the main purpose and everything centers around that, and then you know how to prioritize things and move forward, right? So the main purpose. So it's important to know the main purpose. In Christianity, it's important to know the main purpose. And it's not the end times. It's connected, as God said it. We wouldn't know about it. See, the main purpose is we see this divine revelation. In verse 3, we see this divine revelation is concerning God's Son. As we start. You got to start with Jesus. You got to start with Jesus. That's the reason all these other faiths. I believe in whatever, whatever, and whichever, whatever, and somebody's second cousin. I don't know where it is. No, it's Jesus. You got to believe in Jesus. You got to see it centering around Jesus. So if we want good systematic theology, we have to see it centering around Jesus. I have one of the things for me personally, I saw the Bible as I read through it. The Bible is an unfolding revelation of Jesus. Genesis, Revelation. It's just an unfolding revelation of Jesus, because all through it, Jesus is there. The end of times, Jesus is there. Beginning of time, Jesus is there. In the middle of it, Jesus is there. Jesus is there. So it's an unfolding where we understand Jesus. Well, that's what he's saying right here. And so we see this divine revelation is concerning God's Son. That's what these verses say. So it's important to keep the main thing the main thing. Hey, ask your son to clean up his room. And he goes outside and washes the car. What are you washing the car? Well, it needed wash too. No, you understand. I have company coming over. The main thing, I told you to clean the bedroom for reasons. Well, sure. Yeah, it's like, you see what I'm saying? Well, it wasn't wrong to wash the car. But it helps you to know how to proceed and be in step with what God's doing. So the main thing, a subject matter is concerning God's Son. Always, I don't care where you're reading in the Bible, where you are, it's concerning God's Son. Now, and God is so good, and I think this, he really helps us too, and he says he humanly identifies how we're going to recognize as human. I mean, if God would come like the Jews thought he would, you know, the first time, you know, the skies would open up and horses and fire and Jesus would send from heaven, you go, yep, that's him. You know, you wouldn't even have to tell your neighbor. That's him, see? But God said, no, I'm not coming like that. And you have to recognize him. And so physically, I'm going to help you recognize him. And so what he does, he physically gives us some information so that we can see that he is a traceable and identifiable, okay? And he says this, God's Son, he puts this in here, why? God's Son descended from David, according to the flesh. Okay, human, I narrowed it down. I mean, really, really. Now, it didn't tell you everything, but it narrowed it down. And so we knew, so there we have historical information, identifiable and traceable. It's going to come through David in the flesh. Okay, we understand that. So that's an understanding that we can identify. We have clear historical documentation. So this guy shows up. He has to have some historical documentation here. Now, we know Jesus, son of David. He's referred to often as the son of David. Okay. Now, how can we be sure? So we got to narrow it down historically. Oh, it's the son of David. Okay. But there's a whole mess of Jews that were son of David because it kind of went out the, you know, genealogies and stuff. It's like, okay, how can we be sure that this human is the Son of God? Now we've got a human, You know, now at the time, that kind of isolated him to Israel. I mean, it really did at the time. You know, that's where most of them were. But it even says, when you go back in history, just before Jesus appeared, there was a guy that claimed to be Messiah. He had a whole, and it talks about him. Pilate talks about, they talk about, said, yeah, he led this rebellion stuff, and then we killed him, and all went away. See, because you had false messiahs. Just like Jesus said, we have false Christ. So, how can we be sure that this human flesh and blood is the Son of God? Verse 4 declares that the Son of God will come in power according to the Holy Spirit. The Son of God will operate in the supernatural power of God. You know, like Jesus healed everybody just to show he can heal and we can all be healed and we can heal other people and we can do this. No, he came because of, wow, he did that. Oh my God, he did that. He walked on water. We think, oh, he walked on water, we should walk on water. They're in the purpose, you know, I think there are probably times, you know, but it's like, no, he did that. You know, it was like, oh my God, he came with power. And everybody, and what happened to all the religious leaders, they couldn't get past it. In fact, I love this thing in John. Well, I shouldn't love it. But they're talking to the Pharisees. He says, my gosh, you know, everybody's falling. I mean, you can't believe what this guy's doing. Everybody's falling. If they keep falling, he says, the Romans are going to come and take away our power. See, they recognize it, but they also recognize consequences. We don't get rid of this guy, the Romans are going to take away our power. But they said, you can't, they even says, we can't deny what he's done. See, so there's no question. He was there. This guy is doing some different kind of things. And then it does say right there also that his name is Jesus. And the greatest miracle and the greatest confirmation is his resurrection from the dead. That was it. Right there. You got it. You know, it was. And even his disciples, you think, up until he died, they go, I don't know. You know, it was the resurrection that turned everything around. See, the resurrection is key. Now, this is to us, for believers, for us to know. Well, see, the resurrection. Absolutely. I mean, I doubt if any of us would be here if it wasn't for the resurrection. No, I know. The resurrection. And we see that through Christ. We see that through Christ, his resurrection. That is the greatest miracle. Now, here we go through, speed up these little. Okay, why is Jesus imperative today? Why does he have to be our center today? I mean, okay, I believe in Jesus. You know, every Sunday, you know, I'll make an appearance, you know, or watch Facebook, whatever. They said, no, he is imperative to be embraced everything, okay, to infiltrate our very being. He has to be our consuming purpose, center of our lives. Why? Verse 5 reveals that only through Jesus do we have grace or favor and power. Favor from God and power from God can only come through Jesus. Keep the main thing. The only favor comes through Jesus. It's nobody else. But I saw this guy did many works in your name. He's not, man. Well, what if the only power comes from Jesus? Where'd that power come from? It's demonic. There's another layer of submissive power. It's demonic. We have nothing to fear about it because we're standing there. It's Jesus, and they kind of, you know, shriek and flee. You know, they just, you know, they won't hang around us. See? The Antichrist comes in power, and it calls him like Satan incarnate. You know, he's a bad guy. And then Jesus comes back. You know how Jesus kills, you know, like you defeats. It's like you get in the fist fight and slap around each other, you know. The word of his mouth, it's like, poof, you know, done. It's like, no, it's over. Just the word. See, and so the evil is totally submissive, you know. People say, well, do you believe there's other powers? And I go, yeah, but not good. 100%. Not, but I saw, no. No, they're deceptions because there's evil in the world. But so what is imperative there? Because we have power from God. There's a lot of powerless Christians. Powerless Christians. And I think there's a lot of powerless Christians that Satan has a heyday with, you know, because they're powerless. And they don't understand what God is saying. Okay, why it goes here. Next question. Why is grace, favor, and power so important? Why is it so important? That kind of answered my own question. Well, it's so important in that verse, it says, because it brings people about obedience of faith. You say, oh, I have faith. You know, you see the people, okay, I have faith. I'm going to get up there and I'm going to levitate that chair. I have faith. I'm going to part, you know, the reservoir out there and walk through. I'm going to move. You know, it's like, that's not faith. I mean, faith is hearing God and doing what God said. Now, if God says part the reservoir and walk through, and all right, go ahead, you know. But faith, you hear from God, therefore you have to read his word. You hear from God, then you do what God says. And when you hear God and do what he says, he gives you favor and power to do it. Why do all these Christians fail? Now, I don't know. I don't want to pick. People go through all sorts of difficulties. But I think there's a lot of, you know, well-meaning people don't hear nothing. You know, I just love Jesus and I'm just going to Islam. Well, maybe you have some direction. It's kind of like your kids, you know. I love you, I love Dad, you know, and I'm just going to walk to the store. No, it's 20 miles for one thing. No. You see what I'm saying? So so we understand that grace and favor are so important because it brings about obedience of faith. So what's obedience of faith? Faith, you hear something, and then you do something. Because you hear something, don't do anything. That's disobedience. If you do something when you hadn't heard nothing, that's presumption. You hear something, and then you do something. That's faith. And you have obedience to faith. I heard, and I'm doing. This is what God says. And that comes through grace, power from God. See, that's right. See, he's telling us on the first seven verses. I mean, these first seven verses could start a seminary. I mean, if people pay attention to them. I mean, it's really amazing. Okay, so, therefore, with favor to hear what God says, we have the power to do it. It's all connected with faith. Faith isn't just kind of a standalone thing. It's all connected with the grace of God. With the grace of God. Okay, why is obedience of faith so important? Now, you know, I want to share something with you. I know as you go through here in these first seven verses, you say, my gosh, this is complicated. It is on, you know. Lordy be. You know, but this is the introduction to the book. This is the introduction. It's like, Lord, I mean, the whole thing. Now we're going to explain. We're going to go for 16 chapters. It's like, I mean, it's still shorter than these volumes and volumes written in systematic theology. I mean, good volume. It's like, but it's, I'm tired. Yeah, well, but this is what he's saying. To function, we need to know this. It's like we're too tired to function. I mean, you know what? Okay, so here we're going. So why is the obedience to faith so important? Now, this is important, okay? Why is obedience to faith so important? We hear God, we're going to do it. We have the power to do it, okay? Hearing God and doing what he says with power is God's witness to the nations. That answers a bunch of questions right there. Nothing's happening to the nations. God, you messed up. No, he didn't. He said, no, my witness to the nations, and that means people. It's like your next door neighbor doesn't know Jesus, you know, who's from wherever. See, it's like, you know, God's made the world a lot smaller. So, why is faith so important? Obedience to faith. Repeat it. Hearing God, doing what he says with power is God's witness to the nations. See? So it's like we make a statement. We're standing up. We're different, but we have power by faith, hearing and then doing with the grace of God. Now listen to this. Okay, I started to delete it. I said, no, it's truth. Powerless and faithless people are not a witness to God. I could put it, yeah, you are. You're showing God is faithless and powerless. Powerless and the first seven verses. Powerless and faithless people are not a witness to God. I believe in Jesus. Who cares? Can't see nothing out of you. Yeah. Now, we don't do it for the spectacular. We do it as God calls us and His purpose, and we're listening. And this whole thing is for us to listen, you know, and then step out what God tells us. But the book of Romans, and so the book of Romans touches on this. As he lays out all this information. In fact, in chapter 8 in particular, the book of Romans will go into great detail about the Holy Spirit indwelling us and empowering us, which is absolutely necessary to witness for Jesus. I'm telling you, in the book, if you don't lock into the Holy Spirit, lock into the Holy Spirit indwelling us, which is Christ in us, lock in through the gifts of the power coming forth, lock in to what God's doing through us, well, you don't have any power. See? So the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is huge. It's in the systematic theology of Romans. And it goes in really some good detail and really clear on the subject and how people are to step out in that. But it's step out, but it's something inside that we are submitting ourselves to. So we have that. Oh my goodness. Now we have. Who is responsible for this witness of the power of faith? Okay. I want to know who this is. Who are the people that are to carry this off? They got to be. You know, they got to be like five-star athletes. I mean, they got to be some kind of people, you know, that's going to carry this out. Verse 6 says, the witness of power and faith is for all of us. What? That little Latin janitor. And then this wealthy financial advisor. They're doing the same thing. They're doing the same. They're following this, that little janitor. And they're doing exactly the same. The job description are exactly the same thing. Now, okay, this includes you, me, who belong to Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that. This includes you who are called to belong to Lord Jesus. Now, you don't have to raise your hand. Who here was called to belong to Jesus? You know, you're going to hear the song, you got the power. You do. You got the power. I was called to belong to Jesus. You got the power. That's the way it is. That is. I mean, that little janitor, they came in today. I go, you got the power. You know what I mean? Oh, my Lord. But we have the power to do what God tells us to do. We cooperate and He moves out. So it's just fascinating when you look at this. Now, it's not a special group of people. This is for all believers. We are to live in favor and power. Now, okay, I just will summarize it in this. To whom was the book of Romans, this systematic theology, written? Who was it written? Okay. Who was supposed to understand all that God has to say? Who was supposed to understand? It was not written to some seminary professor. It was. I mean, he should. But it's written to everybody. Written there. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Wycliffe. It may not have been, but I can't remember back in the 1500s. And his goal, he says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to translate the Bible, and I'm going to put it in everybody's hands. That was his goal. See, and nothing's changed. It is translated, and so it's in everybody's hands. So it's important to look at this. So Romans 7 says, Romans written to all those who are loved by God, called to be saints. Now, in your Bible, on your device, everything, because you can do it on your device, because I've done, you can do a little thing and put a strike through, or parentheses. Put a strike through on to be. Strike through on to be saints. To be is not in the original. It is not. Anywhere you look and go, it is not there. We added it so it, so we can understand it, but it's not there. So with it not there, it sounds like this. To those who are written, to those who are loved by God and called saints. Not to be. Wallace, you're going to be a saint. No, I are one. You know, may not act like it, but I are one. You see what I'm saying? It's not, to be is not there. And that thinks that makes it. So it's written all who are loved by God, called, he called the saints, not to be. We are there, saints. That's who does this work, saints. Now, also, the word saints, and I think this is important, and this is totally up to the translators. Okay, there's no hint. It's up to the translator. The word saints, it means saint, okay, but the literal term is set apart. That's what it means, set apart. Now, you can translate it as set apart. Like if you see set apart, you look it up in the original language, yeah, saint. You know, or you can translate it, say, you know, saint. You look it up, wait, set apart. It, you see what I'm saying? The word is set apart. Sometimes we translate it saints because saints are set apart, okay? But the whole thing, but if you look at it, set apart, this... Thus, this literal systematic theology of Romans was written to all those who are loved by God and called set apart. See, we say we're saints, and we can kind of go, you know, if I had background music of angels go, ooh, and had a little cap or something. Ooh, called a saint. Yeah. But it says, no, you're set apart. Well, I don't want to be set apart. If I'm set apart, nobody's going to like me. You know, if I'm set apart, I got to do everything you say. If I'm set apart, that means I got to talk to these people. If I'm set apart, I mean, the main thing in my life is to be you. See, the word set apart. So the book is to the set apart. I don't have time for wrong. Are you set apart? It's to you. You need to know what's going on. You need to know what's going on. Now, to be goes. I mean, there's no reason. I just slash it out. It is not there. It is added. Any Bible, any book, you know, when you look up, set apart. But saints, to be is slashed out. But saint, anywhere you see saint in your Bible, anywhere, the word is set apart. That's what it means, set apart. And I think that's what here, we are set apart. So the book's to us. We're set apart to read the book. We're set apart to understand the book. But they don't. They're not set apart. You're set apart to read the book. It's set apart. Fascinating word. So it ends up with the set apart. So it continues to declare that as the set apart is the set apart. Okay, who this go to? We know. Who's the book to? Set apart. Okay, that's us. Set apart. So as it goes on and it says that as the set apart, we have grace, favor, and power, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, I driving this in the ground, but it's like, I'm a saint. Ooh, I'm a saint. I have grace and favor and power and peace from God. Everybody should take a knee. Yeah. No, you're set apart. The ones that are set apart have grace, favor, power, peace from God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't overlook the equal meaning between the two people there. The Father equals the Son. You get this power from the Father and the Son. They're equal. Therefore, by studying Romans, we will understand that we are here. We don't know why we're here. This morning, you know why you're here. We understand we are here to burn it up for Jesus in 2021. I couldn't think of anything more spiritual to say than that. But we're here to burn it up for Jesus. Man, I mean, everybody walk around, it's like, whoa. See? Here. Now I want to have one verse outside of Romans that is based on Romans and pulled out of Romans. It says, we are a powerhouse. We are God's powerhouse because God made us his powerhouse through Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Totally consistent with Romans. For our sake, God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. Now, if that's not a powerhouse, I don't know what is. I done it, and you're it. And go back. Jesus told the disciples, it's good I go away. He said it. It's good I go away, because you will do more than I did. Right here. But how does that happen? Book of Romans. Actually, first seven verses. See, this is the lead up to the book. The first seven. Here's the summary. Now I'm going to explain the rest of it. We'll have fun. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you how you've taught to us through the years. We thank you for our protection through this crazy year. And Lord, we thank you the opportunity we have to trust you, the opportunity to witness the things of your goodness, Lord. And so I just pray, God, that just an encouragement for each person, protection for each person. And I just pray, instead of read through the book of Romans and just know that there's depths of your total wisdom in that book. Just totally, you know, one's the beginning chapter to the last chapter. Say, this is what it's about. And we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And Lord, we're looking for you to move in a supernatural, powerful way this year in this world and through us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to let that prayer close out for us. And that we'll get some refreshments back there. And so everyone is, I don't want to say dismiss, everyone is free to attack 2020 run right now. Amen? Okay, God bless you.